We do a lot around Christmas to surprise people. I don't know how many of you have made plans, elaborate plans, to keep something secret or hidden, a gift to a family member. There's something that you've been hiding, and you've gone to great, great lengths to keep secret. Now, when I was a child, I think for all of us, we have kids with us today, so I want to invite our kids to think for a moment, but also those of us who are older or advanced in years, which I'm starting to consider myself that, to think back to your childhood. Yeah, I know. Think back to your childhood. Apparently, you guys take objection to that, but having four kids makes me feel older than I am. But I want to invite you to think back. Maybe there was a gift that you really wanted. Maybe there was something you looked forward to every year. Maybe for our kids who are here today, there's something that you're really, really hoping for. I mean, you're really hoping that it's under the tree, that particular gift. And you're excited and you can't wait to see. Now, when I was a kid, I was thankful for all the gifts. But each year, when I was between a certain age period, I looked forward to one particular gift more than any other. Looked forward to a video game. So there were video games when I was a child. I'm not that old. But I looked forward to getting a Super Nintendo video game. And there was, yeah, some of you are with me on that. And I can remember that with all the gifts that were under the tree, it didn't matter whether it was at grandma's or at our house, I would look for that rectangular box. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know the shape. You know what that gift looks like. And so when I would get up Christmas morning and I'd see the presents under the tree, I would quickly scan. And I would notice, and I'd look for that distinctive rectangular box. I remember some years getting there and looking under the tree, and I know I had asked for a certain game. I think it would have been something like Madden 93. I mean, and then I wanted Madden 94. It's a football game if you don't know. Then I wanted Madden 95. I always had to have the new Madden football game. And so I remember I'd look, and I didn't see it anywhere. It was a couple years, and my heart would kind of get sick, and I would be discouraged. So I'd be opening my gifts, and there'd be a big box. You know where this is going. And I'd open that big box, and I'd unwrap it, and I'd look inside, and there was a medium-sized box. Puzzled, I would pull that out, and I would open that medium-sized box, and inside of that was that distinctive small present, that video game that I wanted so badly. So great lengths were taken to keep something secret. I remember one year, it was in the Christmas tree. I had looked and I thought I was done, and I didn't get the thing I wanted, and then I looked in the Christmas tree, and hidden deeply in the Christmas tree was that box. So I was so excited, so excited to get that. In fact, it's not just something we do as kids. I'm going to get my wife in a little bit of trouble here, and that's okay. Just 2 days ago, I was sitting down, and I pulled up our credit card online, and just to check, I do that periodically to make sure there's no fraudulent charges or anything, and I pulled up the card, and I was looking through it, and I saw a charge to Lowe's, and I said, I did not buy anything from Lowe's. So Jennifer was in the other room. I said, Jen, can you come here? I think I might have a charge that's not supposed to be on our credit card. And I was like, did you purchase anything for Lowe's? You could imagine what she did. She just goes, Mark, are you serious? I can't hide anything from you. I said, well, I don't know what it is. You're going to find out now. We take great measures to keep something secret because we love to surprise. We love the unexpected. The message that I want us to consider for a few minutes today is that God is a God who intervenes. God is a God that's not absent from our lives. He's not absent from the world. He intervenes. He's a God who saves, but not always in the ways that we would expect. In fact, he comes according to prophecy, what was foretold, but not in a way that was expected. So I want us just to look for a few moments this morning at this unexpected coming of Christ. And I believe that there's some practical truths that we need to hear, that I need to hear this Christmas season, that remind me of why Jesus came. First, the coming of God's Son was foretold by the prophets. In fact, the prophets spoke hundreds of years before Christ of the coming Messiah, who would bring salvation to God's people and establish a lasting peace and security. So this was anticipated for years. This promise of the prophets that was foretold centuries before the coming of Christ was longed for. I want to look at one of these scriptures from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. I want to invite you to follow along. Again, one of these promises, these prophecies that foretell the coming of Christ. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Prophesied years, centuries before the coming of Christ, that a ruler would come, who would be born of a woman, who would bring about that peace and security that the people longed for. Centuries passed between this prophecy and the coming of Christ. Centuries of apparent silence. And the people of Israel often did and might have interpreted the silence as though God were absent, as though God might have abandoned them. You know, when we face troubled times, when things don't go as we expect or hope, when we have moments that we can't see the peace, joy, the love, the hope, in those moments we wonder, is God present? Does the silence mean he's absent? Message of Christmas reminds us that in the waiting, in the despair, in the questions, God is not absent. God is here. He is present. He is at work, oftentimes in places and in people in ways that we cannot see. Silence that we feel at times does not mean that God is absent. Rather, God is a God who intervenes. God is a God who is at work in history and in our lives. He intervenes through a humble young woman of no worldly significance. Now, listening to the prophecies, we might expect and this hope that the Jewish people had of Christ to come as a decisive, powerful military ruler, that he would come through the political norms of the day, that he would come in a powerful, powerful way, that no one could mistake that this is a warrior king who will establish an earthly kingdom for them. But God intervenes, but he intervenes in a way that the people did not expect. He intervenes through a young woman of no worldly significance. I want to invite you to look at this part of the story in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 55. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. This passage, in part, where Mary's speaking, has been referred to as the Song of Mary. Here we have Luke telling a story, the true story, a narrative. And this passage stands out because it interrupts the narrative. The story's going along, and then Luke, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us the words of Mary, the mother of Christ, singing out in praise to God for what he has done. You see, Mary serves as a model for us. And generations have arisen that have called her blessed. We lift up and we desire to follow the steps of Mary because her faith points us to the kind of faith that God is looking for. You see, Mary's faith was not based in what was right in front of her. Her faith was not based in what was around her because the day was dark. She was seemingly an insignificant person, a teenage girl. Who would think that God, the Creator, would come through her? The events that took place during this day, it was a very tumultuous time. Wars, rumors of wars, rumors of revolution, politically unstable. There was oppression. Sounds like the world we live in today. There wasn't justice when there should be. Mary lives in this difficult time, and why she is lifted up as an example for us in Scripture and in church history is because she believes that God can do the impossible. In fact, that's exactly what Luke says, that God chooses Mary, not because of her power, not because of her position of prestige. Rather, God sees her heart. She says, I am a humble servant of the Lord. When God sends the angel to speak of what God is about to do in a miraculous way to bring about redemption, forgiveness to all people, and the restoration of all of broken creation, Mary believes. She believes that God can do the impossible. And then Mary sings in the closing of her song this almost defiance that God has humbled the proud. God has seen the weak. That although everything around us is telling us that God is silent, that things are going from bad to worse, God is moving. And she sees her world through the eyes of faith. Because of that, God chooses her. She is blessed. She understands that God uses the broken and the ordinary to accomplish restoration and the extraordinary. I think this picture of God intervening in our world through a humble young woman of no worldly importance, Mary's faith, Mary's example reminds us to consider what we think is impossible in our lives. Those places of brokenness, You know, I'd invite you to think personally. What, you know, the areas in our life that they're not as they should be, and we know it. We wonder, can change, can I really be healed in this area? Can I really overcome this reoccurring behavior that is not healthy for me or for those I love? Can difference really take place? Is transformation actually possible? The faith of Mary reminds us that God is a God who he can accomplish the impossible. It also reminds us that God has a work he wants to do in and through you and me. I don't know if you've ever struggled at times with thoughts of like, does my life really matter? You know, you think of what you do for a living. Think of your job. You know, if you're at home with kids, maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a single mom, maybe you're whatever you are, you might wonder, does my life really matter? Maybe you find yourself in the middle of your career saying, is this what I signed up for? Is this how I'm going to spend my days? Maybe you find yourself in later days looking back. I wish God would have used me more in my life to do greater things I had hoped. I feel like I've run out my usefulness to the world and to my family. Let me remind you on the basis of God's word. God does not choose people that are qualified. He does not choose the significant. He does not choose the important. His choosing of this seemingly insignificant woman is a reminder that God is not looking for us to measure up. Rather, what he wants to do is he wants to meet you right where you are. And it doesn't matter what season. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It doesn't matter what fears you have of the future. If we will follow Mary in a faith that believes that God can do the impossible in our lives, just as God used Mary, this humble, insignificant teenage woman, God can and he will use you. It may not be in the way you expected, but God is a God who meets us right where we are. Christ the Savior is born through this humble woman to bring salvation to all people and to bring the restoration of all things. I want to invite you to hear again this part of the Christmas story, Luke 2:4-11. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Remember the prophecy from Micah. Because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, he betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." God himself comes to this broken, fallen world, and through Mary, God brings about the birth of his son, Christ, who is the Savior, not just of the people of Israel, but as Luke says, of all people, all who will embrace this humble faith that Mary has, pointing towards Jesus, her son, God's own son, that we who follow in those footsteps can experience the salvation, can experience the hope, the very reason why Christ came. The writer of Hebrews speaks of this later on in the church, and I want to share another scripture with you. And Hebrews 10:5-10. Consequently, when Christ came into this world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the Old Testament law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That Christ born the baby, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, fully human, fully God, that God would come for a specific purpose. And Jesus here said he comes to offer himself once and for all to make you and I new again, to make us holy. He comes to cleanse us. He comes to cleanse us from our sins. He comes to cleanse us from evil. He comes to redeem and restore lost, broken people. For unto us a Savior is born today. Jesus comes to bring salvation. But if we're going to receive this salvation, we have to take the posture of Mary. Do you believe that God could actually save you? Do you believe that he could speak new life into the middle of broken situations? Or have you just settled? I'll be honest, there's times I've just flat out settled. And I need to hear this again. I need to hear it again, not just with my ears, but with my heart, that God can and does intervene. And he doesn't do so because of our great strength, because of our great faith, because of all the good things we do. He does so to those who are humble, to those who are lowly, to those who are broken. Mary leaves a path. It's for all people that Christ has come. So I want to invite you that to consider for a moment, what might God be saying to you this Christmas? Where might he be calling you to look that you haven't looked in a while? Is there brokenness? Perhaps this message is new to you. You've been going through your life and you've been looking and wondering why. Where's this whole thing of life headed? And then you're presented with this message that this is not a new message. This is a very, very old message that's been proclaimed year after year. Countless lives have been changed. This is a message that brings hope. This is a message that brings life. If you and I will just humble our hearts, if we'll just be willing to take on that posture of Mary, to believe. I also want to invite you to think for a moment about where your focus is. I suspect that if you're like me, your focus is maybe, especially these past couple days, it's here. And I want to invite you to think of all the things you're doing, all the preparations, good preparations, meals, family get-togethers, all the things that you hope will make your heart happy. And they often do, right? That's what we long for. But I also want to remind you, 2 or 3 days after Christmas, when everything's cleaned up, when all the guests are back home, I want to remind you that these good and wonderful things that we celebrate, that are part of our traditions, that bring us joy, there is a greater, deeper joy. I just want to invite you to reach out beyond, reach out to God and receive that deeper joy. You see, the message of Christmas doesn't conclude 2,000 years ago. The message of Christ coming sets about circumstances that will culminate and fully be realized when Christ returns. So I want to invite you and remind you that in this life, there still will be loneliness. There still will be brokenness. There'll still be illness. And the message of Christmas doesn't just invite us to look back at what God has done. It invites us to look forward in faith to where all of history is heading, to the promise that Jesus will return. And that if you had time to turn to Revelation 21, when you would read the very words of Jesus that say, "I am coming again. I will make all things new again." So you can have a heart that's full of faith, but still have feelings of loneliness. You can have a heart where you believe without a doubt that Jesus came and that he accomplished victory on his cross through his death and resurrection, and that a Savior has come and God's kingdom has been inaugurated, while at the same time still feel feelings of doubt at times. Look forward. Look forward. He is coming again. And when he comes, everything will be made new again.